as well as Isaiah 12, and then on Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. Those first verses that Carol read involve a promise. It's a promise that's recorded there in Isaiah 65, and it's a promise that God is doing a new thing. There will be a new creation, a new heaven, and a new earth. And in this new creation, things are going to be much different. It says, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. No longer will we witness nation against nation, race against race, or see one religion pitted against another as we experience this new creation. If you can imagine it, everyone is going to get along in what has been called the peaceable kingdom." The warmth and the joy found in these verses stand in sharp contrast to our gospel reading this morning about the destruction of the temple and of the end times, where Jesus speaks of wars and insurrections. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, he says. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. I have to ask, which of these descriptions sounds more like the world we live in today, in 2019? If we took a vote, I'm pretty sure you would say the verses in Luke more closely describe our world, and I'd have to agree with you. Rarely does a day pass without tragedy. This week, another school shooting in California. And closer to home, a young boy, 5 years old, attends school right here in Center Hall, learned that he has leukemia. Come on up, bud. He's going to be helping. In an age of instant information, we are bombarded with catastrophe after catastrophe. Even the things that we turn to sometimes as an escape disappoint us. How many of you watched the Steelers game Thursday night? The whole thing. I watched it all. And what transpired at the end of that game left me stunned and discouraged. A fight turned into an all-out brawl. Three players were ejected, along with another ejection earlier in the game. Three of those players received suspensions from the incident, and one of them is indefinitely suspended. But during the whole fracas, and I love to look for opportunities to use that word, fracas, the camera pans the sideline, and you see two small boys running around over there on the sideline, and I'm sure they were children of one of the players or coaches. But as I saw that, I wondered what they were hearing and what they were learning from this experience. And what goes on in the life and the mind of a 15-year-old who decides to take a gun to school and shoot his classmates and then himself on his 16th birthday? Well, maybe we shouldn't be surprised, because Jesus does warn us of persecution, hatred, and betrayal. These verses in Luke continue the story that we discussed last week, where Jesus is in the temple teaching those that have gathered around him. The religious leaders, of course, are offended. They're trying to entrap him into saying something worthy of the death penalty. Having successfully rebutted their three attempts, Jesus now shares these words about the difficult days that lie ahead. He stands in this beautiful, magnificent temple. We stand here in this beautiful building made of stone, and it's hard for us to even imagine something happening to it. And the temple was 10 times the size of this church, probably more. But he stands there in that place and he foretells of its destruction, something that must have stunned his audience. If what scholars suggest is true, then Luke actually recorded these verses after the temple had been destroyed in 70 CE. So what then is Luke trying to achieve by telling these words now? I think he may be trying to reassure his readers that this destruction, this catastrophe of the temple, was not the end of God's people, but rather a new beginning, a new opportunity, the beginning of a new way of worshiping and being with God. It was after this that the system of synagogues began, and of course, synagogues were able to be started in any location where there were Jewish people living. Although we may wonder why it seems to be taking so long for God to end the struggles of this world and remake creation, it is really not our part to speculate on God's timetable of judgment and deliverance. The Reverend Dr. Will Willimon writes this. He says, "Certainly there is conflict and suffering, relinquishment and dismantling in this age, but it's important to read the signs of the times in a faithful way." It's important we read the signs of the times in a faithful way, confident that ultimately God's cosmic purposes will not be defeated. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in several cases, talks to this conflict that rages around us, and yes, even within us. In his letter to the Ephesians, he writes this. He said, "For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." You see, in creating this world, God confronted those evil forces, and he prevailed. But the battle still rages on, and the forces of evil are still contending for rule over us and over this world. But even amid these persecutions and difficulties and the pain, we can be confident, because in the teaching of Jesus, we know who wins the war. We know who wins the war. Jesus' words in Luke 21 were not intended to frighten us or the people at that time, but rather they were to reassure us and give us hope. Even though the struggles and pain will continue to exist, at least for a time. Paul goes on in Romans to talk about this situation further. He says, "We know that the whole creation is groaning together and suffering labor pains up until now." And it's not only the creation, we ourselves who have the Spirit as the first crop of the harvest also groan inside as we wait to be adopted and for our bodies to be set free. Romans chapter 8, verses 22 and 23. But there's something else in today's scripture that gives me even greater hope. And if you have your Bibles handy, I'd like to direct your attention to look again at Luke chapter 21, verses 14 and 15. Here Jesus says, "So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict." This passage comes right on the heels of Jesus telling them how they will be persecuted and taken before the kings and the governors and then asked to give a testimony. Now, not preparing kind of runs counter to what I've learned in life. Certainly doesn't, it's not consistent with what the Boy Scouts teach, right? What's their motto? Be prepared. Don't leave things to chance. Make sure you've done your homework. Right, Maddie? Yeah. Most of the time, I'd say these wise words are correct. We need to prepare. We should do our very best. But in these verses, we learn something else, something that I find very encouraging, that despite our preparations, or in spite of them, God is there helping us. We don't stand alone. For those that follow Jesus, Jesus assures us of the power and of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Followers of Jesus, then, are able to combine both realism and hope, honestly about the pain of the present age, and yet confident in the ultimate fulfillment of God's will for this world. I know I often share with you excerpts from my daily devotions, but they speak to me. And I'm continually amazed at how they precisely address either some issue that I'm dealing with or we as a community are dealing with, or how they relate to the scripture lesson for the week. This week it was Father Henry Nouwen describing what he sensed was one of our most important missions on this earth. And it's very simple, really, to help people discover where God is already at work in their lives. To help people discover where God is already at work in their lives. Here's what he said. We have to learn how to think about the events of the day that take place in our community and in the larger world, and to see them as ways to come to know God in new ways. So how do you take something like a school shooting or a small boy with leukemia, and see that as a way to come to know God in new ways? Well, you know, God moves in mysterious ways. And if I've seen anything this week, it's the way this community has pulled together and embraced the family of this small child. And just an outpouring of love and concern and generosity. Now one goes on to say there is the spiritual life and the political world and the economic world, but somehow we must really believe that God is a God of history who works in the events of the day. It is important that you learn to read the newspaper, or I would add, watch the news, with a heart that sees God at work among his people, and to be aware of the great struggle in which we are involved. Struggles with the power of evil and with the hidden love of God. God is present, but you have to be in touch with that very reality. We may know what's going on in Ireland or Iran and Iraq and know about communities in different places that suffer, but do not see them as a set of distracting things, but see God at work in this world. The world and the reality of daily events are there to be read with the mind and heart of God. End quote. So we can't watch the news with our self-centered position on various and sundry things. We are to try to watch the daily events as they occur with the heart and mind of God. Wow. Wow. I don't know about you, but I take a lot of comfort in the knowledge that God is at work in our world. And like Jesus, we are commissioned to do God's work, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best as we are able. Have you ever heard those words? I bet you have. Turn to page 33 in your hymnal. We're going to say them together. about two-thirds of the way down where it says infants and young children. Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciple, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best as you are able? Please respond. We do, with the help of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have now made and renewed our vow. Let us take courage then. Do not despair in the events of this day or any day, but instead be filled with the boldness of God with us and testify to the truth. That is our opportunity, to testify to the truth. Amen.